latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Peter Hammond, who is with Frontline Fellowship out of Cape Town, South Africa. And fortunately, every time Peter comes here, we try to have him on to bring us up to date with what is happening in Africa. Now, certainly I lived in Africa, in South Africa, from 1974 to 1977. At that time, South Africa was the first world nation. It was prospering. The plight of the black was, basically, it was getting better. They were doing away with apartheid. That integrated the sports teams. That integrated the sports stadiums. They were beginning to integrate the neighborhoods and schools. And South Africa would have worked out the racial problems. But you see, there were people in the American State Department who didn't want that. They wanted to bring chaos to South Africa. And certainly they rigged the election that brought Mandela to power, and communists from all over the world came to celebrate what the American State Department and the British Foreign Office had accomplished, bringing an avowed Marxist terrorist, lifelong terrorist named Nelson Mandela to power. Now, you never read that in the newspapers here because, of course, the newspapers in America are controlled. They did the same thing in 1980 and in Zimbabwe, and today, I'm going to let Peter tell you what's going on, because he knows what's happening in Africa, and he also knows that the Lord is working even with the terrible adversity that we see in Africa, which I fear foreshadows what they have planned for America, because the same people are in control in the United States who brought the tragedy to Africa. Peter, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Always good to be on your show. Thank you for the work done by the American Freedom Network.
Well, tell me what's happening in Rhodesia, in Zimbabwe today, what's happening in South Africa, what's happening all over the dark continent.
Well, Dr. Stan, as you know, Africa is a continent in conflict, and we have a battle for the soul of the continent. And in the north, it's Islam. In the center, it's animism. In the south, it's communism. But everywhere throughout Africa, Christianity is locked in a world war of worldviews, and it's often quite a vicious and bloody battle, as Christians are being persecuted, viciously persecuted. You know that in Nigeria we have Christians being attacked by Muslim mobs and churches burned, and we're not talking about isolated cases. We mean systematic cases where literally tens of thousands of Christians have been murdered very violently by Muslim mobs in northern Nigeria, and there are thousands of church buildings that have been burnt down there. In Zimbabwe, a communist country under Robert Mugabe, they are bulldozing down churches, literally flattening. Hundreds of churches have been destroyed, and the homes of over 1.5 million people destroyed. But Zimbabwe, you would know, last year had an election, and even though it was heavily rigged and massively intimidated, with the government controlling the radio, the TV, and everything else, and any independent voice being stifled, and many independent observers being beaten, murdered, tortured, yet the people overwhelmingly rejected Mugabe's communist ZANU party. Despite all of their best attempts to rig it, the voice was overwhelming. The vast majority of the people voted against Mugabe, but he's still in power. In fact, he lost the elections in the year 2000. He lost elections in the year 2005, and yet he's still there. And he lost the elections last year in 2008. And so this is just one country where the government keeps losing the elections. The opposition has more members of parliament and more seats and more votes, but they're still the opposition. And somehow or another, the world community continues to give hundreds of millions of dollars every year to prop up this unelected Marxist mass-murdering dictatorship of Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe.
Well, Peter, is the United States still sending humanitarian aid over there, ostensibly to help the people, but really to keep Mugabe in power?
Well, yes, that's true. The American government's made some nice statements against Mugabe's legitimacy, but the practical fact of the matter is that U.S. aid and the World Bank continue to prop up this unelected dictatorship that has destroyed the country. And when we say destroyed, we mean that most of the time there's no electricity. In fact, you can go a month in the capital city with no electricity at all, no power. And the plumbing is totally broken down. There are epidemics of cholera. Tens of thousands of people have died of cholera alone, not to mention the many people dying of malnutrition. About half of the population have fled the country. About the other half that have stayed behind are suffering from malnutrition. And we have just a total breakdown where you remember that when you would have been out there, a Rhodesian dollar was worth about $3 American. Today, it's absolutely worthless. I've got in my possession $1 trillion notes, $1 billion notes, and they're worth absolutely nothing. They went to 231 million% inflation last year, and this year it's into the quadrillions. I've sort of lost track of what that is, but it's out of control. Nobody wants their own currency. They're only trying to trade in bartering, and there's not much to barter either.
American tax dollars at work. I hope our audience realizes, of course, that if it were not for American interference and the World Bank and probably British Foreign Office as well, Mugabe would have fallen long ago, but that's not what our leaders want. But they can't let the American people know that. Oh, we say he's just such a terrible guy, but we just continue providing humanitarian aid so that the soldiers and the police are well fed and the people are starving. American tax dollars at work. Well, what's happening to the church in Zimbabwe?
There are bright spots. Despite the incredible suffering and intimidation and the horrific conditions in the country, there are some very, very brave, bold Christians still staying and standing and trying to shine the light. And those are the people we're trying to help. And, for example, you take one provincial hospital, the only government hospital for an entire province. I mean, that's equivalent to what you'd call a state. And it had to close down. They had nothing. They had no food, no medicines, no bandages, no pharmaceutical materials, nothing. And so our mission went in with the aid of a local church, and we took over this empty, derelict, defunct, totally broken down, everything from the windows down to the ambulance had no wheels. It was on bricks. That's how bad it was. And the local church has taken over the hospital, opened up again. We've brought in tons of medicines. And in the name of Christ, and with gospel work and discipleship and counseling and preaching, the local church has now basically redeemed the government hospital and is using it to save lives and to treat and heal bodies. And the local people see the message clearly. The state has failed. The government is useless. But the church is providing services that the state has failed to provide.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with Peter Hammond. This is The Story, ladies and gentlemen. You're not going to hear on your evening news. because we're too busy watching Britney Spears and the young lady who's Miss California here. Back in just a moment.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. KHNC listeners are painfully aware of the forces that have brought our economy to the state it's in. We want financial advice from experts who understand what's really going on. The iMoneyCoach.com team has put all the knowledge they use to coach successful people and businesses into a 10-course training program for only a fraction of the cost. Thousands of dollars of training materials and videos for under $200. At iMoneyCoach.com, you'll get the knowledge you need to change your life for the better. iMoneyCoach.com.
Everybody with a yard probably has something buried in it. Perhaps a rawhide bone. The head of a talkie tabby doll that got too talky.
Baby, what a bottle!
Or a pet turtle that sadly didn't make it.
Sheldon? Sheldon, wake up!
There may also be buried pipelines. And even the best-maintained pipelines can occasionally leak. So make sure you know the signs. For instance, if you smell unusual odors, gas or petroleum.
Yeah.
Hear a hissing noise. See bubbling earth or water. Vegetation that's dead or dying. Or a colorful sheen on water. And don't forget these hard-to-miss clues, like dirt being blown into the air, a frost ball in an open field, or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these, don't investigate. And don't ignore it. Leave the area immediately. And call 911 or your pipeline company. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Well, Dr. Stan, I guess Peter Hammond, Peter, go right ahead. You were telling us that, you know, certainly in Zimbabwe, the local churches have taken over the only hospital in the province comparable to our state, and at least that is beginning to function. Are you able to get some food in for the people? Because I know that people are literally starving to death there.
We are, Dr. Stan, but you know, of course, that it's difficult and one has to actually smuggle it because the government regulations are that relief aid's welcome, but it's got to be given to the government and the government will see that it's freely and fairly distributed. And, you know, if you believe that, in fact, what actually happens is that all the relief aid that's given into Zimbabwe is taken by the state and used to reward their Marxist card-carrying party members and to deliberately starve out those who are in opposition to the government. And anyone who's not enthusiastically chanting the slogans at a communist rally is, of course, in opposition to the government in their mind. So many people who mean well and many of these NGOs who should know better give the food aid, which people who've donated it normally expect it to get in the hands of the people, but actually it's getting in the hands of the very state that's caused the famine and the starvation. And of course that's counterproductive. So what we have to do is ensure that we get things past all these government roadblocks and every network method they've got, and ensure it gets directly into the hands of the Christians and the churches and the people that we know and trust. And that's hard. And obviously we can't take in the biggest vehicles. That would red flag one. But over the years, we've learned a few tricks, and our mission's been working now 27 years in Zimbabwe alone, and therefore we've found ways of being able to get around. But every trip requires spiritual warfare, answers to prayer, miracles, and serious evasion techniques. But by God's grace, we have gotten many tons, and we now have over 100 tons of top-class food and many tons, I don't know how many, of medicines, right pre-positioned at depots near the border. And at this moment, our teams are working on getting these things into the hands of the people who we know and trust and love, and ensuring that the government doesn't get one grain.
Does anybody there ever ask why the American State Department seems so intent upon keeping this communist government in power in Zimbabwe and supporting the communist movement in South Africa? Do Africans, people there ever question what the motives are of the American State Department?
Oh, yes, indeed. In fact, the people have continually said, what ever happened to the promises of Henry Kissinger? Because why do we have Mugabe in power anyway? It's the result of the policies first of Henry Kissinger and then of Andrew Young under Jimmy Carter. And their administration had at the top of their foreign policy agenda to betray the pro-Western Christian Rhodesia into the hands of this Marxist mass-murdering thug, Robert Mugabe. And it's not just though the people in the 1970s didn't know what Robert Mugabe was. He was trained in Red China. His people were killing missionaries. They're not as though the people in the 1970s killing and eating the survivors. They were murdering Red Cross ambulance workers. They were killing and raping nuns. They were mass murdering missionaries, right down to the babies of missionaries, such as at the Ila Mission massacre. So everyone knew exactly what Robert Mugabe was in the 70s. It's not that he was a nice Red Robin Hood and he's changed recently. He's always been a vicious mass murdering thug. And yet the U.S. State Department promised the Rhodesian people, and I remember, I wasn't that young, that I don't remember as a 15-year-old youngster seeing on television, hearing with my own ears, Henry Kissinger looking right into the camera and saying, the American government will guarantee the safety and security of lives and property and the rule of law in Rhodesia. No one is to fear. If you will accept this peace plan, you will all be protected. There's nothing to fear. We will protect you. We will ensure the rule of law. Your property is safe. Your farms will not be confiscated. And he promised all this. And somehow or another, we had people foolish enough to believe. Of course, this wasn't just a promise. There was sanctions. There was a worldwide economic embargo and warfare against Rhodesia. We were facing a very vicious terrorist war against Russian and Chinese-backed terrorists who were doing a lot of damage with their landmine campaigns and so on. And so in this situation, the Rhodesian people foolishly, of course, trusted the word of Henry Kissinger, of Jimmy Carter, and of Andrew Young, and entrusted their country into the hands of the British Foreign Office, who then had Lord Soames as governor, hand the entire country over to this worst of Marxist terrorists imaginable, who everyone was confident would not happen. And it didn't seem that the Americans or the British Foreign Office saw any need to honor their promises or to do anything about this dictator who's been there ever since 1980. Imagine that, 1980. And even when the people vote him out against all odds, he's still there. And he's still getting hundreds of millions of dollars from the World Bank and USAID and all the rest to prop up his miserable, disgusting dictatorship.
And as we pointed out to our listeners, General James Jones, of National Security Advisor to President Obama, speaking at the Munich Security Conference, and you can check this out on the Internet, and we'll get you the information, had made a statement that I take my orders every day from Henry Kissinger. We have a chain of command in the National Security Council, and I get my orders every day from General Brent Scowcroft and Sandy Berger. This is the man who is instructing President Obama what to do. It makes us good to know that Henry Kissinger is still in the position of prominence, directing national and international affairs. Well,
incredible.
Peter, what's going on in South Africa?
Well, Dr. Stan, we just had an election, and these national elections, like all of our national elections, it seems, in the country since 1994, was rigged with every kind of intimidation and irregularity and missing ballot boxes and security equipment that didn't work. You meant to have scanners, and the scanners were broken where I was voting, so they couldn't check if a person had voted before with ultraviolet lights, and couldn't scan your ID books, barcode, or anything like that. And there's so many irregularities, and they were having political parties campaigning within the precincts, which you weren't meant to do by law, and many other things. A lot of intimidation. There were people being shot and murdered in the run-up to the elections, and even on the day, and even in voting stations, there were people being murdered on the day. Of course, the world media seems to call it a free and fair election, but those of us who were there were not convinced. The government controls the media. The government controls the counting procedure. There were many, many stories of stuffed ballot boxes, false ballot boxes. And after the election results came out, where, surprisingly, the communist ANC, the African National Congress, got the majority of the votes, yet they were discovering full ballot boxes. abandoned in the veldt. Some of them obviously were part of a bonfire, but not everything burned, and it was sufficiency. These were ballots from this election in sealed boxes, and there was massive amount of fraud and intimidation, as is normal. But what is going on in our elections now, we have 66% of the vote officially went to the ANC, and tragically, only 2% of the vote went to Christian political parties. We've got several Christian political parties voted for them when we have seven. I know that there's a lot of fraud that's going on in the elections, but in South Africa, we now have a president who has spoken very positively of Robert Mugabe and of farm invasions, and there's a serious fear that South Africa could be trying to emulate Zimbabwe in terms of invading productive white commercial farms, which could be catastrophic, of course, because this is what started the Zimbabwe catastrophe. They invaded the farms, they murdered white farmers, they confiscated the productive farms, and the farms had provided not only all the food, but most of the employment, most of the foreign aid, most of the exports, and Zimbabwe's economic freefall since then was inevitable. You destroy your agricultural foundation, people will starve. And so the concern for the future of South Africa is very serious.
Well, then when I was there, of course, they had tremendous industrial capacity. They were manufacturing cars. South Africa had a system, a very advanced system, by which they turned coal into oil and gasoline. And this was really a top. It was the most industrialized nation in all of Africa. What's happening as far as employment, as far as production, you know, as far as your exports of manufactured goods, is that continuing?
It is continuing, but it's being severely hit because, as you'd remember, when you lived there and when I was young, Rhodesia and South Africa had very strong currencies. In fact, the South African rand was stronger than the American dollar back in the late 70s and early 80s. And despite sanctions, despite riots, despite wars, we had a strong economy. Today, the South African rand is more like 9 rand to $1. So that already tells you a story. Our money is being imploded. The other thing is we have regular power failures. And you can imagine what this does for a big city like Johannesburg when power failures are normal and you have suddenly unproductivity in whole factories and companies for hours on at a time. And we've had this even in Cape Town, that the most advanced city in the continent of Africa, and we've got a nuclear power station just down the road, and we will just have scheduled blackouts, total power failures, and you can imagine how this is absolutely disruptive. In our mission, because of our work across the border as far as Sudan, we, of course, have generators. So the moment that any power failure happens, we've got batteries that kick in for 20 minutes, and that gives us time to just get our generators up and running, which plugs into everything. We've rewired everything to our generators because this is normal now to have power failures in our country. I mean, imagine, how can you run an advanced Western first world nation with regular power failures?
Well, of course, they didn't have any power failures in Iraq before we went in there to save the people from the wicked of Saddam Hussein, who'd worked for the CIA back in the 1950s. And today, why is still in that country, even with American occupation? So they have power failures a good deal of the time. But Cape Town was certainly one of the most advanced cities, one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
Yes.
You know, and I love Cape Town, and yet things are really beginning to break down there. What about the situation as far as law and order and violence?
Oh, well, that's the worst. We have every single year over 20,000 people murdered officially, even though the South African Medical Association believes it's 35,000 people murdered every year. And I saw an Interpol report believing it's more like 50,000 murdered a year in the country. But because of massage statistics, and the government even put a moratorium forbidding the police from issuing statistics on crime to the taxpayers and citizens that they're meant to represent. So the situation is very out of control. We regularly know of people in our local circle, in our local community paper, murdered, hijacked, raped, all sorts of things going on, human trafficking. The situation is so bad that our commissioner of police advised that we legalize prostitution. Now, He's since had to be removed from office. He, by the way, was the head of Interpol as well at the time. And this Commissioner Salebi was shown to have massive ties with human trafficking, with gangsters of all sorts, huge amounts of fraud against him. And yet he was head of Interpol, the Commissioner of Police of South Africa, and he wanted to legalize prostitution, which, as you know, is frequently a cover for human trafficking. And we've got a massive human slave trade problem. Many, many girls from Eastern Europe, Russia and other places have been proven to have been brought to our country under false pretenses, thinking they're going to be models or getting a job here or there, and they end up being slaves for some prostitution den run by the Russian mafia and others who are in our country in a big way, and the police seem powerless to deal with it. And when you find that the Commission of Police was actually in league with and from the mafia organizations and this huge amount of human trafficking groups, that's not surprising. So crime and violence is out of control. Everybody in the country has turned their homes into fortresses. You wouldn't recognize many of the places from the time when you were there, because now every South African home's got burglar bars over every window, security gates over every door, high walls, razor wire, all kinds of defensive measures. And we basically look like most of our homes are under siege, which actually they are.
Now, what about the professionals? Are the doctors staying, or a lot of them just simply totaling up and leaving? I know I one of my friends just wrote to me recently and emailed me, told me that in Bloemfontein, where I worked at the Pelonomi Hospital, that they've closed down the surgery there. Of course, they provided medical care, excellent, high-quality medical care for all the black people in the Orange Free State. And he told me they're simply closing down the medical suites. There's no money for medicine, no surgery going on there. We'll talk about that when we get back with Peter Hammond, Frontline Fellowship from Africa. American tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen. The shadowing, I believe, and fear will happen to America.
For over 15 years, K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery Care has provided not just clean carpet, but a healthy carpet. Bonded and insured, K&K has brought quality care to your home with a proven safe truck-mounted hot water extraction process that is pH-balanced, allergen-free, and safe for the environment. Tile, grout, heat transfers, and water damage care also available. For your free estimate, call K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery, 303-237-4655. Ask about the KHNC discount on your first cleaning. That's 303-237-GO-KK. Our friends at the Wild Bird Center take this special time to remind listeners that our children and young adults are our future. That's why we need to educate them on the dangers of drug abuse, so take a moment to let them know you care. That's from your friends at the Wild Bird Center, where Candace Stewart and her staff are always working to make our area a safer place to live for our youth. For the highest quality products and friendly service, committed to education and conservation, call today, 303-758-7575. That's the Wild Bird Center at 1685 South Colorado Boulevard in Denver. Mention you heard this community announcement. They wish you a happy Memorial Day.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here. I was just asking about the what's happening to medicine, because that was close to my heart, and I'd heard that the hospital where I used to work, we did, you know, major surgery, provided free medical care for the black population. They just don't have the money to continue to free their operations.
Well, yes, Dr. Stan, there's such massive, colossal corruption and abuse and theft of government resources. You know, for example, we've just got president that's just been elected, Jacob Zuma. He's got 783 counts of fraud and corruption against him, and he intimidated and his political party threatened the lives of the National Prosecuting Authority until they just said that it wasn't possible to go forward with the case, considering that the man is a candidate for the presidency. And they literally just put case to one side. So there are 783 cases of fraud and corruption against one person who now is the president, and the prosecutors have said, well, we can't try and prosecute someone who's in the presidency. So they've literally shelved all those cases. That's the kind of situation we're in. So it's not surprising to find that huge amounts of hospitals have closed down their specialized clinics. And remember, South Africa did pioneer, for example, the first successful C-section was done, where both mother and child survived, was done in Cape Town in Somerset Hospital in the 1840s by James Barry. And the first successful heart transplant was done in Cape Town, Fredericia, by Christian Bonnard. And we've really led the world in quite a lot of advanced transplant technology, but most of those specialized units have been closed down for lack of funding, or the people have fled. And some of the best people, such as Dr. Christopher Knott Craig, he was the world's top heart surgeon, personally trained and mentored by Christian Bonnard to take over. He's now in the University of Oklahoma's hospital because the Ministry of Health in South Africa put a moratorium on transplants, saying, no, you know, we don't need that. And this is close to my heart because my son, 13-year-old Christopher, he's a kidney patient. He's been kidney failure since birth, and it's a miracle he's alive at all, and he's functioning on just 20% of one kidney because the other kidney is dead and taken out. There's nothing there. He's due for a kidney transplant. There's only one pediatric kidney transplant unit in the entire country now. When my wife had hepatitis a few years ago, there was only one liver specialist unit in the entire country of South Africa, which thankfully was Cape Town. But we had people from all over the country there in Cape Town. Imagine that the people have a kidney or a liver problem, and they've got to go to just one town in the entire country. And what the government's done is they've closed down all these specialist units in all these different hospitals so that there's now in the entire country one liver unit, one kidney unit. And it's bizarre. It's not that we didn't have the medical specialists, as you know, but most of them have been told that they're not wanted, not needed, because they're white males, which is the wrong gender and it's the wrong race, and they just have left the country and enriched other countries, but it's impoverishing our own.
What a tragedy. Well, anyway, of course, what's happening as far as the church is concerning? Are people turning to Christianity? Do they realize, of course, that in many respects, certainly, the country is wreaking God's judgment upon it?
I wish I could say that there was, but I'm afraid to say that I think the vast majority of our Christians are asleep, ostrich syndrome, head in the sand. There's a remnant. There are pockets of dedicated believers who are very alert. There is spiritual hunger in the pews, but you don't see the leadership of the churches willing to attack the issues. And it's so bad that, for example, during the last elections, we had top mega churches, such as Rhema with 10,000 people in a single Sunday morning service, having Jacob Zuma, head of the African National Congress, their presidential candidate, with 783 acts, a charge of corruption against him, and with several wives and all sorts of other things and charges of rape against him, and seriously, and they had him in the pulpit and let him speak in a lectionnaire and promote, and they wouldn't allow any other one from a Christian party to come there when others said, oh, would we be welcome to come? Nope. Just the ANC candidate. So you've got churches willing to accept Communist Party people into the pulpit and let them electioneer in the run-up to an election. No wonder the vast majority of Christians in our country seem to vote for the Marxist Party. It's absolutely bizarre, and yet there's a spiritual hunger. There's a farmer that you might have heard of, Angus Buchan, and he attracts up to 200,000 men at a time to his Mighty Men's conferences. And I've said to church leaders, this is an example of how the church leaders are failing our country. The people are so spiritually hungry, they're going to a simple, God-honoring farmer who preaches a good old-fashioned repentance message. They're going to him by the hundreds of thousands into his farm because they can't get that spiritual food, it seems, in their churches and the cities.
Well, God moves in strange ways that we'll never understand. Peter, before I go on, I want you to get your telephone number, your email, your website out there, because, of course, we support your ministry, and I hope that many of the people who are listening to the program here in the Colorado area will want to help you as well. Why don't you get the information out? Because Peter Hammond is doing a great job, a job I wish I could do, but I can't. We do enjoy, and my wife and I, supporting what he does. So how can people learn more about your ministry and get on your mailing list as I am?
Well, thank you. Yes, our website is frontline.org.za. So it's frontline.org.za. We have lots of resources, reports, DVDs, newsletters, pictures and documentation, what's really going on in Africa, exposing our mutual enemies, the United Nations, the New World Order, the World Council of Churches, and all these other corrupt institutions. And the email is info@frontlinefellowship.net, info@frontlinefellowship.net. The telephone number is for Anna Marie here in our U.S. office, 408-370-1653. So that is 408-370-1653.
Well, now what's happening in some of the other areas? What's happening in the Congo and Darfur? We hear a lot about Darfur and about the persecution of the people there. Of course, this is an example of Muslims actually persecuting Muslims, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. It's actually just Arab Muslims fighting black Muslims in Darfur. And it's amazing that that gets the media, because the same media didn't seem at all concerned about the millions of Christians persecuted and tortured and enslaved and murdered by the Arab government. I suppose blacks don't matter if they're Christians. But when they're Muslims, then suddenly there was a big outcry. And this Arab banditry in Darfur is terrible. It's absolutely horrific. But it is nothing compared to the far greater genocide that's been waged against Christians in the Nuba Mountains of Central Sudan and against the Christians of Southern Sudan. But that seemed to be a non-issue to the media. But a much smaller amount of Muslims in a much lower scale conflict in Darfur has received massive headlines and huge amounts of support. But remember, Darfur is 99% Muslim. It's a Muslim area, and it's Muslim-on-Muslim violence. And, you know, we're very sorry for the victims there. But what about the Christians who've been attacked and enslaved? In fact, many of the worst atrocities committed against the Nuba were done by the Muslim Darfur black Christians, black Muslims.
We'll be back here in just a moment. Here.
This is George Flynn. For several years, I was privileged to host the Words of Freedom show here on KHNC. If you've been wanting a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit or non-resident Utah or Florida permit, please note that I've been a firearms instructor since the 1970s and currently conduct concealed carry classes under the banner of Self-Defense Guns. Please visit our website, selfdefenseguns.com, or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to celebrate Shavuot 2009, Sunday, May the 31st at North Shore Park of Lake Loveland, Loveland, Colorado, at the Amphitheater from 10 until 5 p.m. Bring your own picnic, lunch, and drink. No glass containers are allowed in the facility. Bring a blanket, umbrella, and protection from the sun. Special guest speaker will be Dr. Frank Morgan, Obadiah Frank. Praise and worship music by the Beth Messiah Band, the Intercourt Dancers, Voice of Many Waters, and a special concert by Michael Golden. For more information, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Hog Sameach. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Peter Hammond, giving us a rundown of what's happening in Africa. You were mentioning the Sudan, the Nuba Mountains. It was at the southern part of Sudan where several million Christians were killed, but we don't want to talk about that because the media hates Christianity. But yes, what's happened there now is... is there still a peace? There was a peace for a time, or is they simply they've gone back to killing the Christians there?
Well, that's certainly the fear that that's the way it's going. There's been a few sporadic acts of isolated violence in the last few months in southern Sudan. A peace treaty that was signed in 2005 after America toppled the Taliban in Afghanistan and Saddam Hussein in Iraq, Muslim jihadist governments in Sudan suspended their jihad against the South and did a peace treaty. But now the talk is openly in Sudan that with a president friendly to Islam in the White House, there's no danger of America interfering in their holy war against Christians in the South. So most people we're talking to in Sudan are expecting their uneasy peace to be shattered soon. They know that the National Islamic Front government of Sudan that suspended the bombing of Christian villages and schools and hospitals in the south and promised to withdraw their troops from the south have never actually withdrawn their troops from the south. The Muslim government's forces are still there 4 years later than the deadline for their withdrawal, and the National Islamic Front continues to have a very heavy military presence in the south. There's a lot of escalation of military presence, so there's serious concerns that the jihadists are preparing for a new jihad against the Christians in the south of Sudan, and we are certainly trying to prepare for that. Over the last many years, I've led personally 27 missions into the country. Our mission's been there over 70 times and delivered over 300,000 Bibles and books and tons of medicines and containers of medicines to hospitals in the country. And we've been trying to provide school teachers with textbooks and help the people get ready, helping to train the chaplains and medics for the SPLA, the Sudanese People's Liberation Army, which is mostly Christian. And we are expecting the war to restart any time this year. And I think that's the fruit of the way international diplomacy has gone, because no international government seem to show much concern when Christians are massacred. They only seem concerned to pander to the Muslims. And so the jihadists in Sudan have seen that, and they feel free to openly prepare now to go back to enslaving and bombing the Christians in the south.
Well, my understanding was that the Sudanese government was largely being supported by the Chinese, China Petrol, which has a large oil development holdings there. Is that true?
Oh, definitely. Red China is the number one military supplier for Sudan, for the government of Sudan, the Arab government. They're in their boots and all, and a huge amount of weaponry. When we've been strafed, it's been with Chinese-provided helicopter gunships and Chinese bombers and aircraft and the weapons that are being deployed against us. And our mission base in Sudan was bombed 10 times, which includes our school and clinic. The local cathedral was bombed 10 times. I've been bombed while preaching on Sunday morning services. And the bombs that have been dropped on us have all been made in China.
And, of course, I think people need to understand that China Petrol was able to develop the oil resources of the Sudan because they raised $5 billion in American financial markets. Why would we allow a Chinese communist country to come in, come in and raise funds on our financial markets so they could go over there to Sudan to support the radical Islamist government? Maybe we really are not as anti-Islamist as they'd like the American people to believe. Maybe nothing, as it appears to be. Maybe we're really supporting communism throughout the world. How is the spirit of the people there in the Sudan?
I think the people are very nervous. They feel betrayed. They are surprised. They're shocked. They don't understand how America, that could be so viciously attacked by Islamic radicals such as in the 9/11 World Trade Center attacks, how America can be so friendly to the very enemies. At that time, the thought, well, at last, America is seeing the true face of Islam, and they're understanding something of what we've been suffering for so many generations in Sudan. And they expected America to be more sympathetic to the Christian suffering at the hands of Islamic Jihad. So they don't understand how America can be so friendly to Islam, and they are absolutely bewildered as to how a president so positive to Islam could be in the White House and even bowing to the King of Saudi Arabia. They're shocked. And I know there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of disillusionment there. And, Dr. Stan, my father fought in the Second World War in the 8th Army in North African Desert, and I know that there's a lot of pride in the minds of many of that generation. We fought Nazism, and we helped keep the world safe from democracy. But, Dr. Stan, I'm more and more convinced of what General Patton said. When General Patton got to the Oder River and he experienced what the communists were like, he said, we have to keep going. And he said, we've actually been fighting the lesser evil. Communism's even worse. And I've been convinced for a long time, communism is far worse than Nazism. It's killed vastly more people, 160 million so far. And Islam is even worse than communism and Nazism combined. And for us to continue to pat ourselves on the back and say, in the Second World War, we kept the world safe. We fought Nazism. And yet, since then, we've been bolstering, supporting, financing, and providing technology to communist and Islamic regimes, which are a far greater threat to the clear and present needs of the United States of America and world security. And people are being massacred and abused all over the world by these jihadist regimes and communist dictatorships. And the people who continue today to make films and to congratulate themselves on having fought Nazism are supporting something far worse today.
I fear you're absolutely right, Peter. Well, Sydney, what do you think is happening as far as the Congo is concerned? Now, there, somebody, 3 million people have been killed, 5 million people?
Oh,
no, we never talk about the
Stan,
Congo.
At least 5 million. Right. And we're talking about just in the last 10 years. The Congo must be one of the most difficult mission fields in Africa. Vast logistical complications, huge distances, endemic lawlessness, massive amount of corruption. But 55 million people in an estimated 450 different language groups live in the Congo. It's got vast mineral resources, great agricultural potential, but it's all been squandered by corruption and chaos and mismanagement. And the Belgians once built efficient road and railway systems across the whole country, but now it's impossible. You cannot travel except by air. The roads are just wrecked, destroyed, bridges gone, all that sort of thing. Succession of dictators have plundered the nation's resources. Civil wars, assassinations, incredible brutality and cruelty. It's the heart of darkness.
Well, we're out
but
of
yet
time,
there's a spiritual hunger in the Congo, and we're going in and regularly running ministry there.
Well, we'll talk about that when we have you on our other program later this week. God bless, Peter. So good
Thank
to talk
so much,
to you.
Thank you so much, Dr.
Bye-bye.
Got a
home project of mine, but no idea what kind of tools and equipment you'll need? No worry. Grand Rental Station has knowledgeable, friendly consultants to walk you through the process. The Grand Rental staff of experts will guide you through selecting the right equipment, teaching you how to use it safely and correctly, and suggestions on how to achieve professional results. Give the staff of professionals a call today in Loveland, 970-669-3866. That's 970-669-3866. Rent the equipment. Keep the advice. Grand Rental Station. Don't forget to tell them the KHNC sent you, and you appreciate their support of this station. 970-669-3866.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
RDS Environmental in Lafayette salutes all our area students and graduates for their accomplishments. With prom night and graduation right around the corner, sometimes common sense and safety get pushed aside. Parents, talk to your kids and remind them about the dangers of drinking and driving. That message, courtesy of RDS Environmental at 1365 Forest Park Circle in Lafayette. Call 303-444-5253. That's 303-444-5253 for RDS Environmental in Lafayette, where Tammy and her staff are on the air because they care.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Peter. Basically, we do have a book going into the murder of General Patton. We actually have an interview with the author in our four CD set, Deadly Assassins. But they killed General Patton. Why? Because, of course, he wanted to come back to the United States, and, of course, he was going to tell the American people how he could have ended the war 6 months earlier in Europe. He certainly was ready to advance directly into Berlin. They cut off his gasoline so they could prolong the war as long as possible. But that's the story you're never going to hear in America any more than you're going to hear what's really going on in Africa, how America has been financing Mugabe as he has raped and pillaged that country to the point where half the people have left, and those who are still there, those who are not in the police or military, they're well-fed, but everybody else is starving. And the tragedy, really, of what Henry Kissinger brought to Zimbabwe and what they did and destroyed the value of their currency, and they're intent upon doing exactly the same thing here. That's why, of course, they have the massive debt they're talking about just for this 1 year, $1.82 trillion. They've acknowledged between now and September, that's what we'll be running for this 1 year, and probably even more next year. But they can't tell the American people the real purpose is to destroy our currency, because there's no better way to destroy a nation than to destroy the currency. And there are people who hate America working at the highest level of our government because their loyalty is to the internationalist dream. And they're carrying out the plan laid out in the Earth Charter of equitable distribution of wealth, not only within nations, but between nations. That's why they're transferring our Chrysler to Fiat Motor Company. That's why they're financing General Motors, that's going to start importing the cars that they manufacture in China into the United States. Tell me, how is that going to make more jobs in the United States to give Chrysler to Fiat, an Italian motor company, or for General Motors to start importing cars into the United States? Ladies and gentlemen, you must let us help us get the word out about the globalist movement intent upon destroying the sovereignty of our nation and merging us into a one-world government and impoverishing our people. We're in real trouble. You need to get my membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. You cannot, identify the players without a program, and you'll find there that the vice chairman of Fiat just happens to be a member of the Trilateral Commission, right along with the people who are the chief advisor to Barack Obama, like General James Jones, the chairman of the National Security Council, like Thomas Damalon, the deputy chief of the National Security Council, the people who direct our foreign and domestic policies, the ones who take their orders every day, at least according to James Jones, gets them from Henry Kissinger. And if you want to see that article, it appeared on the pages of the Council on Foreign Relations publications. I mean, they're not even trying to hide it. Are you concerned? Are you helping us get the information out? Please, of course, you certainly want to get the book, Target Patton, and, of course, the four CD set, The Deadly Assassins. Of course, an interview with a gentleman who wrote the book who talked to the man who was paid to kill Patton. Now, he only crippled him, got him quadriplegic. He claims that the other Russians did the rest of the job. Maybe he, of course, didn't want to admit it. Murdered people. They were professional assassins. We hire professional assassins to kill people today. If you haven't heard our four tape set on Economic Hitman, my interviews with John Perkins, or read his book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, telling how in his years, why of course they would bring in the assassins to kill world leaders, wouldn't go along with the program for the New World Order. Our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.